Good evening. It is Thursday, 5:53, September 23rd, the PNB programming call. We have, well, let's go around, and I'm Kim Kaufman from KPFK. Jamie has an LSD meeting in New York, so he asked me to chair for tonight. Next. We're going around and introducing ourselves.
Okay. Nancy from KPFT, Houston, Texas. Wesley.
This is Wesley Bethune, KPFT, Texas.
Shalom Agamir, KPFA.
Sasha Futrin, KPFA.
Ifia Wangaza, WMXT.
Jim Bennett, WMNF.
And Benito Diaz at PFW.
Arlene Engelhardt, Executive Director, Pacifica.
All right. Do we want an agenda? Do we have an agenda? My agenda item is I'd like to have Arlene report on what happened with the October 2nd demonstration that she was going to find out about for the station she broadcast.
Yeah, and I just wanted to talk about it, have a general discussion about it.
Yeah, it looks like you may even... have you been in conversation with some of those people, Benito, or just getting their emails?
No, I'm in conversation with the communications person, and Andrea Alford, but more than anything, with the D.C. field director, Kimby Hughes, who I've been working with.
So why don't you, you've had more and better communication than I have. I've had some slightly different communication, so why don't you tell us what you found out, and then I'll add what I've found out, and hopefully we can tie it together.
Okay, in what respect, I mean, just generally what it's all about, you mean?
Yeah, or what you've gotten. I haven't actually talked to them directly about us carrying that. I had come up with a slightly different route, but I haven't gotten final answers on anything. And to be perfectly honest, when I saw these emails today, I thought, this looks like it's probably a better route to be going. And so if you've had conversations with them about that possibility, then I'd be interested in it.
No, actually, no, I haven't discussed. See, it didn't even occur to me. See, I'm not a radio person or a media person.
Right, I understand.
So a lot of stuff I might not think about. But it never even occurred to me to discuss the details of what we would do with regards to that. When I contacted, well, the field director, DC field director, told me to deal with the communications department in terms of getting the information that I needed, that Bob Daughtry had asked me for. And so I talked to them, just the communications folks, just about getting these materials, which is what I what I emailed to you, this afternoon and stuff. But in terms of how we would communicate with them or coordinate with them, I didn't even think of doing that. I just thought that was up to us. But maybe one of the things that can come out of this is maybe you could talk to the person in charge, this woman, Andrea Alford.
Yeah,
or,
I will.
Yeah.
Because the avenue that I had pursued was through Free Speech Radio News and WBAI as possibilities, because I found out that two people from WBAI were going to be there and were hoping to at least do some recording. The problem that I was running into, and Bertolt was working on trying to come up with a solution, but I tried to get back to him today. I've just gotten back from vacation. And I wasn't able to make the contact, so I'm not sure if he has found anybody, but my guess is no on the technical side. And where we would usually get John Almela involved, he's going to be involved on that date with the PNB meeting, so we don't have that avenue available. I do know that Berthold had contacted Robert and Bob to see if there was any possibility that the technical side might be able to come from PFW, but I'm not sure that you, whether you've got the capability to do that or not.
Well, as a matter of fact, now it's starting to come together because I didn't know that all that had happened, but I spoke to Bob briefly today, and he told me that that maybe I should talk to this communications person about getting them in other words, did they have a truck, a sound truck,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah,
So is that what we're talking about here?
And well, no, that wasn't what we were talking about. This sounds to me like a better choice. That's what I'm saying. And so I'll go ahead and pursue this tomorrow if, you know, unless somebody's heard something else. I left a message for Bertel today, but we didn't make contact with each other as to whether he had come up with any avenue for the actual broadcast side of it. He had two people that were willing to do the coverage and that could host it and, you know, cover it for us and that are going to be there. And so that was where I pretty much left it. Free Speech Radio News had said that they probably could give some support, but that they couldn't actually take on the project.
Well, why not? I'll tell you why not, because Tom Hartman and Laura Flanders are doing it for 5 hours with FSRN. I mean, they're busy. They have a paid gig.
Well, then we may be able to pick up on some of what they're doing, and that's what I'll pursue.
Why do I know
tomorrow.
This, and you don't, Arlene? A month ago, you know, we had said, okay, you're going to talk to FSRN and set this up.
Right.
I mean, I know more about this than you do now.
Obviously, you do, and I'm sorry. I don't know why that part of it wasn't brought back to me, but it wasn't until I began to see emails today.
But
I did talk to Nathan about it right after that meeting.
Okay, so we blew it, you know. I mean, fine, you know.
But if we can actually be take that coverage, isn't that us being a part of it, and isn't FSRN part of us, and can't we actually take advantage of having great hosts like Tom and Laura FSRN working on it and being able to pretty much be able to broadcast their stuff for free? Isn't that really important to the network right now, to be able to manage to do things like this but not to have to spend money on it?
Yeah, I'm not sure the Tom Hartman show is interested in doing that.
The Tom Hartman show is available to all community radio stations for free of charge.
But he's
distributed through AudioPort for any community radio station to pick up. You can also actually go to his website and be able to take it live as well. So
he is on in Los Angeles, 3 hours. So that would preclude KPFK competing with him.
I don't think it does.
I don't know.
Because
I'm not sure
he can
that it
be
does.
On more than one station. I mean, he can be on a commercial station. He can be on a community station. He doesn't tell people that only one station per market can carry it.
I think he does.
No, he doesn't. We carry his show on one of our HD channels. David Packman is the person that sets up agreements, who is part of the Pacifica family and does a show of his own on AudioPort.
Well, this is theoretical. You know, I don't know what to say. Last month, Arlene said she'd take care of it. Now, here we are a month later. You know, I don't see this coming together. Does anybody have a plan? Does anybody want to manage this and pull it off?
I'll pursue it first thing tomorrow morning.
How important is this? Do the five stations want it? Has anybody asked KPFK if they want it, for example?
KPFA does not want it at this point because they're in fund drive.
Okay, we might be also.
And you mean Los Angeles?
Yes, KPFA.
No, you won't be
in Los Angeles.
You won't be on fund drive.
I don't know. We're starting next week.
No, you're starting on the 5th.
I'm
that's what Jennifer told me today.
Well, I'm not sure. I know I couldn't. I don't know. We might be starting on Tuesday, which is the 5th. Okay,
yeah,
so this is this Saturday. Oh, this is this Saturday.
This is a week
October
from
the 2nd.
A week from Saturday.
Well, you know, I'm willing to do any and everything possible to make something happen. I just don't know what that something is because, like I say, I don't know about media. But, you know, I could, Arlene, if you need whatever I could do or whoever, you know, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, you know.
I'll get on the... on it first thing in the morning, and then I'll call you, Benito, and we'll work. We'll do everything we can to see what we can make happen.
Okay, that works for me. And the thing is, too, maybe part of what in order to interest folks, you know, from the different stations, I think maybe the angle is not just to sell. The DC action necessarily or primarily, but there's going to be actions in other cities, and I don't know exactly yet which actions or which cities. But I asked again for that information today, and the same person told me she would get on it. She was supposed to have given me that over a week ago, but anyway, you know. So anyway, hopefully by tomorrow I'll have a list of what cities, events or actions are going to take place in. And, I would assume that they're the larger cities, and I shouldn't assume. But, you know, that way, you know, people could see that this is something, you know, like, people in LA, Berkeley, you know, Houston could see that, this is something that, there might be something in their city or close to them that's going on, and they could cover.
Okay, how about with whatever information you get on that tomorrow? Let's get that out to the committee so they can share it with their stations if there is something in their area.
Right. Yeah, I'll get on this woman again. She's been very difficult, and I can assume she's got, you know, I'm not trying to criticize, you know, she's probably overworked and all, just like the rest of us and all that, but, you know, it's just, you know, I'll just get on her again in the morning.
This is Nancy in Houston. Benito or Arlene, please let me. I'd like to do something, but I really don't know what to do. I'd like to help this demonstration for. It's actually for poor people, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're all about, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know what would we do? Have some kind of a telephone call from one of the demonstrations on air and a report or
we'd like to also make some of the live programming that's going on available for airing on stations.
Well, who can do that?
I will make contact with the group through Free Speech Radio News and whatever they are. Tomorrow morning, first thing, and see if there's any chance we can tune into that and post it on AudioPort.
Arlene, I would suggest that you contact David Packman.
Yeah.
Probably have his email, and
he would
be able to help you with
Good.
That.
Okay.
You know,
we should do the easiest way, right? Since we're so short of time,
right? If we can, well, the big thing is we're so short of cash. So if we can pick it up at little or no cost, that's exactly what we need.
And, you know, in some ways, I don't know, I've been thinking all along that as important as it is to broadcast, you know, the national rally and all that, it may be even more important to be able to get speakers on the different on radio shows to promote the events, and not, and again, not just the DC event, but for instance, I have to assume that something's going to happen in Los Angeles, for instance, the same day. And so, if people could, if we could get the speakers on, you know, on the radio that to promote that, then that would, you know, increase participation out in L.A. Because in the end, that's what, you know, that's the bottom line, is getting people to whatever the local rally is, or the D.C. rally or the local rally, or whatever local event, you know.
This is Wesley. Can I cut in?
Sure.
Well,
I shouldn't be speaking up. It's Kim's. That's Kim's domain. So I apologize.
No, Wes, fine. We're pretty casual.
Okay.
So what I was I've just now become aware of this event, and I haven't heard it promoted on any of our shows, and I see it's affiliated with a lot of different groups. So I think our local groups should get more involved. I intend to call our labor show host to promote it. But from Houston, Texas, there's no one in 100 miles that's going to the rally. So that's it.
Right, but again, more than likely there's something happening in your area.
I
hope to have that information by tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Anybody else have, you know, are we done with this topic? Everybody's talked all they want? Well, you know, Arlene, there's been a lot of, you know, a few little articles in the papers about old Al Jazeera. Anything you can tell us about that?
To be perfectly honest, that is still in process, and so it's not, I know it's made the papers in some cases because some things have leaked, but it's not open for discussion yet until everything is completed.
Okay.
I don't even know exactly what the issue is. I know that I heard, I think, on the last meeting and maybe in one other meeting prior to that, about the possibility of Pacifica doing something together with Al Jazeera, but I don't know exactly what that something is. I don't, and maybe you're not at liberty to discuss what it is, and if, Arlene, and if so, I can understand that too. But
yeah, I unfortunately, by the talks that are going on, I'm bound to confidentiality at this moment, and so I'd love to discuss things, but I can't.
Okay. Well, you know, Google Pacifica and Al Jazeera, and you'll see what's out there.
Okay.
Benita, you said at the last conference call you were saying that just doing Al Jazeera on the air may not be such a safe way to go or the best way. And I was thinking maybe we could do more contextually, you know, like take excerpts from Al Jazeera and have somebody of our own station sort of point out this was said or that was said, so that we're not just another repeater for Al Jazeera.
You know, all I can say is I really can't discuss this at this point at all.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, then
I will come back to the program committee the minute I have something I can discuss, because
okay.
I believe you all deserve the first announcement, even though it has been leaked, some parts of it behind the scenes, and some of it's true and some of it isn't. That's all I'm going to say today.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other programming changes
at
any of the stations that that you can talk about, Arlene?
You know, I'm not directly in on the programming changes when they happen, but I do know that KPFK had some programming changes that occurred in the last 2 weeks. I don't even know specifically what they are, but I was told about that. You probably know more than I do about exactly what's happened. But
yeah, I mean, we have changes, and you know, everybody who's got a program is, you know, unhappy, or who's been changed is unhappy, of course. And
of course,
we have to deal with that, and it's getting ugly. But I don't know how it'll come down, but it's getting ugly.
Tell me, did you all get any kind of explanation as to the rationale for the changes that were made?
To me, they seem obvious, but just that we need to shake up programming, and he's trying some new things.
Is it based on Arbitron ratings? Fundraising, training, what's the basis other than gut feeling?
I would say gut feeling is, you know, and Arbitron's as well. You know, Alan made some changes to the morning grid. And according to the Arbitron's, and boy, we could spend the rest of the meeting arguing about Arbitron's, nevertheless, the Arbitron's did seem to go up in that morning programming. So now he's trying to jiggle around the afternoon programming based on, you know, Arbitron, fundraising, just shaking things up, some of the old program pieces, putting different programming in different places on different days trying to get more consistency of similarity of programs. Hopefully people, if they listen to one, they'll stay for a little bit longer. You know, it's really hard to tell who's listening and why, and how to raise funds behind them. And I mean, I'm just all about raising funds at this moment. And I know that I can't say that very loud because people will scream at me. How dare you? You know, you just want us to be NPR. And it's like, well, you know, I just want us to be, like,
just
be not in bankruptcy court. That's where I want
survive.
Us to be. Yeah. And you know, it's an ongoing struggle between political ideologues and practical people, in my opinion.
Well, I think that we all have to be aware of several things. One is that we have to do the very best job we can with our fund drives this fall. Fortunately, we have, you know, a couple of our stations are in decent shape. And that's KPFK and KPFT. And hopefully, once these cuts are made, KPFA will be in much better shape. WPFW is making some changes in order to bring them into financial balance. And BAI is doing everything they can. So there's a real push this year to make sure that we operate within our income, which we have to do because we don't have reserves and we do have past due bills that are mainly past due because some stations have not paid their share of the dues this year. These aren't really programming issues, but that's the reality of the situation. And so we are taking some steps to work to both bring this under control and to reverse some of that. The other side of the coin is, we also, I think, have to support our stations in getting the word out in every way we can about the station and the fact that it's there. It's amazing the number of people, even in a community like Berkeley, that don't know that KPFA exists. And I will say that certainly more people, when I'm, you know, in a store or somewhere and talking to people, are aware of KPFA than any station that I've ever been in contact with when I just walk into a store or something. Partly due to the size of Berkeley, and partly due to the fact that KPFA, I think it's partly due to the fact that it's the flagship station. But we still need to spread the word, and we need to make people aware of the excellent programming that is available and try to make sure that we increase our listenership, because none of our stations have the percentage of market share that they really should.
This is Nancy at Texas. Don't you think we should start appealing to the listeners to start going out and telling somebody?
Of course we should. Of course we should.
Line, and I even thought of putting a poster inside your or onside your car in the parking lot and put a little basket full of program guides.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. You
I
know,
did I do that. I did, and then I wear a billboard. It says KPFT 90.1 FM, Radio for Justice, free program guide. And people do
good
come up and take it.
Good for you. And you've also got some exciting things happening at KPFT in collaboration with Rice. I've been, and that definitely involves a programming issue. Also the same as, or they've been basing it a lot on the situation at WMNF. Maybe do you want to tell the committee about that, Jim?
I can if you like, if people want me to do that.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, we were actually the first community station in the country to decide to use one of our digital channels to enter into a collaboration with a college radio station which was having trouble reaching people. So they, in essence, rent one of our digital frequencies called our HD2 channel so that they can be a 24-hour radio station that covers the entire area and thus, you know, makes them have a much stronger presence. We're doing a lot of this is college-age folks, and so now we're actually doing training for them, and there's some crossover where they're coming here after they graduate, and so we're getting an influx of people that are gaining experience there, becoming potential program hosts and producers here. So there's a great kind of way of growing younger by having this collaboration with them, and we're also if we speak of finances for a second, we're actually using that digital technology to make money for WMNF, which is, you know, similar in some respects in that we don't have a lot of money. We're okay financially, but that $35,000 that we get from them per year, you know, you can really look at it as it allows us to still be on the air. So. Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
Point of information.
Really good.
Point of information.
Now, the other side of that is that WMNF and KPFT both have HD capabilities where the other Pacifica stations at this point don't.
Oh.
And it does take a digital transmitter in order to be able to tap into that. But one of the things that we're looking at toward the future is that as transmitters need to be replaced, making sure that they're replaced, one would be foolish to replace with anything other than digital, and taking advantage of PTFP grants to do that replacement, so that at least part of the money would come in from the federal government, hopefully. WMNF did that, too.
Yeah, and you actually have to, you know, do those when you can. We actually just applied through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to do a digital upgrade so that we can have a power increase with a new transmitter for our digital signals, and we just got that grant. So, you know, every time that they have a grant cycle, Pacifica should, the five stations should look into applying for those, because who knows how much longer that money will be available. So it's really best to apply for it, you know, in the upcoming year when those grant cycles are...
Right, and I just met with them when I was in Washington a few weeks ago, and I'm working with them on doing what we can for the five Pacifica stations.
Like what? What can they do for us? Or what are you hoping
we can apply? We can apply for grant money.
Well, what...
For,
I don't understand... That entails getting somebody to write the grant and find, you know, follow up on this.
The grants are primarily done by, at this point, if you have engineers that know how to do them, that's really what it takes.
Arlene,
they have to do a bulk of the application.
Do any of our engineers know how to do that, write grants?
They know how to do some of it, and I'm working with the people at CPB so that we turn in acceptable grants on the next cycle.
And KPFA certainly knows how to do it because KPFA decided not to do it earlier because the technology hadn't settled down, but KPFA actually applied for digital grants twice and got them both times. So, decided not to act upon them because of how tight money was. So.
Yeah, KPFT, that's how they got theirs earlier.
So it'll still cost us money to do this.
Yeah, it's a matching grant, so...
It's a matching grant, so one has to come up with matching funds to go with it.
Okay.
So let's say the project overall costs about, let's say, and this may be different station to station, but let's say it costs $80,000, you might have to end up... in terms of your cost, it might be like $25,000 of that $80,000. So,
did you do a capital campaign or just save your pennies?
Well, you have to.
We did a special campaign at WMNF when I was there. Actually, that was before Jim came. I don't know what you did for the last one, Jim. But
well, we just budgeted it. So
yeah.
We actually not to take up too much time or detail, but. We were able to figure out the money for it because we're partially selling off some of equipment that we'll no longer need, but also because we got a bequest that we can a very large bequest that we can take some of the money from and use it to cover our part of the grant. So,
Wesley, did you have something to?
Yes, I. Who negotiates this contract? I know, who has the authority to sell airwaves?
Well, you're not really selling the airwaves because it's still your license. So what they're basically doing is you are allowing them to. It's still your license, so they have to obey all FCC rules and regulations, and you have the right to. Determine whether they are doing that or not, and if you feel that your air is in jeopardy, then you have to do something about it. You're not really selling your air. You're basically allowing them to broadcast on one of your signals. However, they in the contract you have to. And we did work with the same attorney that represents all the Pacifica stations, John Kriegler, to come up with the contract to make sure that they follow all FCC rules and regulations, that they do proper identification, that they have a certain number of public affairs programming or do more public affairs programming should there be some sort of FCC judgment that they are not doing enough. So there's all kinds of stipulations in the contract, also including things like they can't do advertising, and if they do underwriting, it has to be within our policy. So, for instance, with the five Pacifica stations, since you don't have underwriting, then they would not be allowed to do underwriting unless you were allowed to do underwriting. So
could you send us a copy of that so we can look over it? Pacifica is set up in a different structure, but since Kriegler is familiar with our structure, then I'm sure he has the kinks worked out.
That was already asked from us, and I said that we would be glad to provide a copy of that contract. So.
Could you send that to this committee?
If you want me to. I mean, I know at KPFT they asked me to send that to them. So.
Yeah, well... I'm just a member of the local station and a member of this committee, and I was, does anyone else in the group would like to look at it? Perhaps you could send it to the whole group.
Sure, this is Sasha.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even understand the wording, but I could pass it on to our staff people.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, and they could work on it. We need every penny we can get.
I've been talking to the staff also at WPFW, and we're working on the ways that we may be able to, and we think we've even figured out a way to make the match at WPFW. So.
Oh, wow.
Now, how much rent were you getting, or whatever you call it?
You're talking about our arrangement with it's called Bulls Radio on the University of South Florida campus.
Right.
They are paying us $35,000 per year.
Yeah, I think we're selling ours for $15,000 to one of the top 20 schools in the world. I think we need to negotiate for a higher price. Who's in charge of it?
Yeah, but there's also a very large upfront fee. So, on yours, they're making a large upfront contribution.
Okay, well, maybe
who's
the manager will let us see what's going on there, too.
Do the students pay the money? I mean, do they donate, the families of the children?
Well, I mean, no. Basically, in our case, there are two different stations on the University of South Florida campus. One is an NPR station, which really has nothing to do with the students. The station that we have entered into agreement with is, in essence, controlled by the student government of the University of South Florida, and they, in fact, have a budget, and they approve every year whether they're going to renew it, the fee to be able to broadcast on our frequency. So it is actually an arrangement with the student government, which has a budget. I don't know how they raise the money that's in their budget. I suspect some of it comes from alumni donations and what have you. A lot of universities have pockets of money that they can spend on things like this if they determine that it's important for them.
I think it comes from student activity fees, actually, is the way I understood it.
Yeah, and there might be some alumni stuff in there, too, but there's actually two different pools of money. There's some foundation money that they also tap into as well.
And at Houston, that's the reason that they want to do a bigger upfront and then smaller monthly payments, because it will be coming out of the monthly payments will be coming out of student activity fees.
And wait, let me just backtrack for a second. This is just internet, or they have to have an HD radio?
This is HD. They have to have an HD radio in order to, in this case. But what I was talking about to begin with was grants for equipment that come through PTFP.
But the other thing is that there is a stream associated with the HD signal. So in some cases, a college station will already have a stream. So if they, in fact, have an HD signal, then it's basically what's on HD is also on their stream. But usually, in essence, they already have a stream, so you're not having to pay for a stream. So that's how it would work. And more than likely, most people will be listening on the internet until such time as if and when HD ever takes off. But we're really seeing most of our listenership for HD on our streams that we have.
Is the new technology committee involved in this at all, Arlene?
You know, I don't know for sure if they've discussed a lot of this. I've discussed some of it with each of the stations individually, but I haven't discussed it with the technology committee, no. Yeah, that's not to say they aren't discussing it.
I'm on the technology committee, and I brought it up way back when, but technology committee has been involved in some other things, including looking at our current websites and
websites, I know it's been there.
Stations and
yeah.
Trying to do a survey of what things are working and what things aren't on websites, and also with Pacifica's website, and trying to make some recommendations on trying to change things there. So. that's been one of the major focuses of the technology committee in recent months.
May I sort of change the subject? Is it okay?
Sure.
How do we, can anybody give me good advice on how to improve what we got?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. How to improve what that you've got?
Our programming, what we have, how we can improve it. I was thinking of doing a survey of our staff and let them come up with, you know, what their strong points of their program is and their weak points and some suggestions and have it anonymous, and the program council can look at, see some good ideas that can come from that, from our own people. Getting we do have a survey now. We just started for the public to do. The people who do not have a computer complained. They called in. They cannot participate. But is there a better idea than that? Those two ideas, how we can improve what we have, our programming.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you should do, but one of them that's very important, and this is just my opinion from. You know, a number of years working with programmers at KPFA in Berkeley, is that it's absolutely required that they be given regular feedback and be given the training so that they can improve as programmers. I don't know how much of that is actually being done at the five Pacifica stations, but if you want, you can't just say, hey, you can have a program, good luck. You really have to do follow-through and do regular check-ins with programmers and work with them and give them suggestions on ways that they can improve their program, and also find out from them what kind of support they need from the station in order to do a better program. It's really important to not just do evaluations of programs when you're thinking about bringing new programs on the air. It's important to do programs evaluations on a regular basis. That will really help the programs, and I'm pretty sure that that's not happening at the five stations, but I think that's a really important way in order to nurture and help programmers, volunteer programmers, especially if you want them to succeed, you've got to give them support.
Well, we haven't had any kind of evaluations for 5 years, and so I said, well, let me just send out to the staff, you know, a list. Just write down your own evaluation of your own program and the strong points, weak points, and how do you think you can improve them. And then the program director immediately made one quick one out. But I'm not going to, I want to continue to do something on my own in case nothing happens on the other side. It's not enough. We're not doing enough about, you know, evaluating our own programs or even talking to each other. A lot of our programmers don't even know who each other is, or they just run in and then do it and then run out. And some of them don't even listen to the other shows. They don't know. Number one, what's the best way? Just get feedback from the staff about their own programs, self-evaluation, and what they think might be good ideas to improve.
Boy, I'll tell you, at my station, at KPFK, that would be a waste of time.
Really?
Every programmer thinks their show is the best ever.
Well, if I'm going to make it anonymous, so I'm going to give them back a report of what other people said about their programs, and they won't know who did it, but at least they'll get something. Some evidence we'll have.
You know, if the only time you ever do evaluations is just when you're about to renew programs or bring new programs on the air, then the programmers won't trust what you are doing. You really have to make it so that it's actually helpful to them, because if they perceive it as actually being helpful, they'll do it. But if they think that you're only doing it because you want to get rid of them, they're not going to cooperate in any way.
I don't want to get rid of anybody. I just want to improve what we got.
I'm just telling you that the mindset of a lot of programmers, especially, let's say you have long-term programmers who have been doing a program for, let's say they've been doing it for 10 years, and you said you haven't done an evaluation in 5 years. If all of a sudden you do an evaluation when they haven't been evaluated for a really long time, and they've been there for a really long time, they're going to be very suspicious of that process because it hasn't happened on a regular basis. They've never had the benefit of having a positive evaluation or good constructive feedback. And so, it's not going to work. If you don't do it ever, then the immediate conclusion is that it's only to determine whether they should continue doing a program or not.
So, it just sounds like so much common sense.
You got to do it, and it's got to be helpful. And, you know, rather than do a self-evaluation, which I agree isn't necessarily at this point in time for a lot of the programmers at the five Pacifica stations, have them do an evaluation of how the station helps them do their program. That's where you're going to get a lot of real answers from programmers who might be unhappy or frustrated by their relationship with some of the staff or some of the systems that are in place at the station that they don't feel are helpful to them as a volunteer. But you really ask them to give you feedback on how the radio station is doing in terms of supporting the programming.
Do you have such a survey?
Or well, we had a lot of stuff that we did, and I think that you may have, in previous meetings like this, we've sort of reached out to Tracy Rosenberg to talk about some of the stuff that we developed at KPFA's Program Council, which currently is not in existence, but at one time we were doing regular evaluations, and we were, it seems like so long ago now, and I think that's bad, and also, you know, we were giving programmers an opportunity to evaluate how we were doing as well, so...
And you said what was bad? To do it regularly was bad? What do you mean?
No, what I'm saying is that it hasn't been done in a long time, and that's really bad.
I see. And so how regularly were you doing it?
We had a schedule that we developed of when we would evaluate different programming hours of the day, and, you know, throughout we had a timetable and commitments to evaluate with the program council. The individual programs. We were trying to evaluate all programs once a year, but it would be not all at once. It would be scattered throughout the year. So we were basically doing, evaluations every month of some of the, or every couple of months of some of the programs and program strips on KPFA.
This is Sasha from KPFA. We, on the board level, just voted to reinstate the program council a month ago.
Oh.
And are actually in the process, putting together a program council. It will consist of the department heads of the four departments, a program director, when we have a program director, which we don't, and board members and unpaid staff and some listeners.
Yeah, and that's the way it was before, and that
right.
At one time was working pretty well.
And we're hoping that it will be allowed to work again. Unfortunately, in terms of looking at the board level, where we have resistance on the board level to this is from paid staff that are on the board. But yes.
Oh, but that's great. Volunteer staff only, not ones hooked with the salary. I mean, that's our problem.
One of them.
No, we have many. I'm sorry, Sasha. Go ahead.
No. We're just in the process of putting this together. I think the unpaid staff have already elected their representatives. It's going to take a little bit more time to get the community reps on.
This is Wesley. I think we need a national criteria for establishing a program council, and also the criteria of which they will evaluate programming. And I think we need to make this uniform throughout the network.
Hear, hear.
That makes sense.
Well, I would say that that kind of move could come from a programming committee. You know, you could take
I'm
that
on one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This programming committee, you could work to develop something and recommend its adoption.
How about it, gang?
Oh,
makes sense to me.
Well, I like the part where Sasha, you said elected by unpaid staff, the volunteer staff members, not selected by the manager. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Right.
I mean, representation. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Our manager picks half of the members of the program council, and we pick 3 LSB members and 3 public.
Well, we have, I mean, I know there was talk when this, actually before this meeting actually got officially started, there was talk about KPFA's budget and budget cuts and so forth. We have a very large volunteer group of programmers at KPFA. I mean, it is, you know, approaching 200. Although we have paid programs, you know, 75-80% of our programs are produced by volunteers, actually. There are just a few that have paid staff. So I should throw that in there.
That's interesting.
Fortunately, we have a situation as well that some of these same paid staff members actually run things at the station.
What did you say?
Yeah. Actually run things at the station because we don't really have and haven't had any serious management for a number of years. So it's quite a messy situation, let's put it in those terms, because we have people running things and making decisions who don't necessarily have the title of the person, you know, who would make those decisions normally. They maybe have a show and they're a host or a producer or a news director or something of that sort, or a reporter. And we're meeting, you know, but there is resistance to this, to reinstating the program council. There's a great deal of resistance to this, but we're going to hang tough and get one.
Sasha, are you a programmer?
No, I am not.
Are you just an LSB member?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And who selects the listeners? The board?
Yes, and I'm in the process of actually developing the application that we'll use for listeners, and they are selected by the board.
Is the PD, once you have one, will he be a voting member?
The PD will be a voting member.
Oh. Okay.
They have one vote. The way it is, paid staff will have 5 out of 15 votes, and the rest will be unpaid staff, you know, listeners, board members, who will be largely listeners and not paid staff.
I think I heard one of you mention that in one of the stations the staff is represented on the LSB?
Yes.
Paid staff?
Yes, paid staff is represented on the LSB.
So then the Pacifica bylaws do not preclude that?
Wish they did, but...
no, there are... X number of staff members, which in some cases are paid, in some cases unpaid, on every board.
Oh, see, I just thought that maybe I hear at PFW, maybe we've been misinterpreting the word staff representative, and we were taking it to mean that, you know, it was for volunteer staff.
Well, that's cleaner. Then they come, they show up to vote, then.
What, you mean at the LSB meetings?
Yes, because you've got paid staff, both, in our case, some of our unpaid and our paid don't show up to vote when it's a crucial vote.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, this is the problem. We don't have protection of staff. They don't have any protection of losing their job. Not here in Houston, anyway. And gosh, if they think they it's a vote that's going to be like, contentious vote, they might show up.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, we have that problem with the unpaid staff who are LSD reps. They're afraid to open their mouth. And the same thing, but even more so for just programmers in general. And that's been a historic thing.
Yeah, so I'd like to solve that. I mean, if we had Management Selection Review have some sort of mini trial, I mean, if somebody's fired or they can get, you know, have a little trial and witnesses and then get reinstated or have some sort of protection so they don't, so they're not scared to vote.
Right.
I mean, we're supposed to be a very...
They have to have rights or else they're not going to open their mouth. They just want to protect their show.
Yeah, and then...
They're afraid of retaliation.
Yes, that's the same word I heard from programmers. That word, exactly. And, you know, it's awful. We're supposed to be a very just, democratic, well, I don't know democratic, but anyway, at least just organization, right? And we don't... We got fear there.
Well, again, I hate to keep bringing back the past, but once upon a time, we had programmers' rights and responsibilities. We had programmers' contracts so that there were protections for programmers and so that they understood what their responsibilities were if they wanted to continue to be able to do a program such as, you know, FCC stuff, et cetera. And that really made programmers understand what they were supposed to be able to do with their programs legally and also what their rights are if they had a complaint with how somebody was treating them and a certain amount of protection if they wanted to bring that complaint forward. So those things should happen at all the stations. There should be programmers' agreements. Which have some protections and rights and responsibilities laid out for the programmers. That should be in writing.
Whether it's paid or unpaid, right?
Exactly. Well, when it's paid, there's a union contract at some of the stations, I believe. So that it's more for the unpaid programmers who are a majority of the programmers on all the Pacifica stations. So.
Right. So whatever happened to those documents or those provisions?
Well, they're pretty. Again, when the program council went away, those documents went away at KPFA. So, but that was the way it was, earlier in the last decade. But that's quite some time ago now.
So,
legally, we should everyone should be provided that for the sake of the network.
Yeah. I think it would make it things much more stable, and there'd be a certain amount of protection if everybody was treated equally. So.
Look, all of these are great ideas, and they all require people to do this stuff. I mean...
those things still are in existence. So, for instance, at least at KPFA, a number of us still have some of those documents. So Tracy Rosenberg has a lot of them. A woman by the name of Susan Stone, who used to be the drama and literature director at KPFA, along with myself, helped to create a number of those documents. Some of those documents are still in the board operator manual that I wrote and that's still used at KPFA, so they're around.
No, Jim, I'm sure they're around. The problem is getting people to do it, PD to do it. And who's going to make... I mean, I've heard that this and that should be undone and on file, and they're not on file. Well, what am I going to do? Go into the PD or GM?
Yeah, that I definitely can't give you suggestions about how to do it. But I do know that if we need to get those documents to someone or to this committee, we can do that. So.
That's fine, but on one hand, I hear good ideas, and I see that nothing gets done.
Yeah.
Either people are genuinely too busy, or they just don't want to do it because they want to do other things.
Right.
You know, this is a badly managed state, operation, and there's nobody who's being a heavy and saying this must be done.
Well, let's get organized, kids.
Yeah, this document, this contract, maybe we could put another clause in there, like if we're, like, in dire straits, and can't can make our bills.
Let's get the committee a copy of the contract, and then maybe you can update it. But,
yeah, so,
I mean, absolutely right. Unless you get cooperation at the station, you can do all the great wording that you like. But if stations are going to ignore it, then you've got the same problem. So.
So I've sent out copies of the WMNF programmers agreement a number of times to a lot of you. I'm not sure if it's gone to everybody on this committee or not, but that's...
Well, it's also going to take, you know, a good working program council at each of the stations to be able to carry these things forward, but those program councils aren't allowed to exist, or they don't return, then that's going to make it much harder. But it's really going to need a body like that to bring it forward and make it real again, you know.
Arlene, don't you have power to say, hey, stations, read this document and what do you think? It's a bad idea or it's a good idea?
I've said it to all the managers. The problem is I've got four stations that do not have permanent general managers in place. And in all honesty, it's very difficult to implement some of this kind of policies without a manager that expects to be there for a little while. We're very close to having those managers hired at two of the stations, and hopefully the other two are going to be following very shortly behind.
And also, you know, there should be a program director, too, and then
exactly.
I mean, the KDFA
doesn't
have one. So.
No, and a number of our stations don't have that, and that's part of the process, too. I do know that... That Bob Daughtry at W has been implementing part of this with great reluctance on the part of the programmers. He's gotten some real resistance. I know that Alan Minsky's been working with some aspects of it at KPFK, at least trying to. And I know that Tony Bates has been working with some at WBAI. And again, all of those are interim people, which also doesn't give it as much teeth as there will be when we get some permanent people in place.
Yeah, but even before we don't know when we're going to get some permanent people in place, so still we should be able to, each organization, well, they have at least a board, they have a program, somebody there. It doesn't have to wait for a manager or a program director, because we don't know when that's going to happen.
You know, but I'll put it this way. As much as I think this is important and I've shared the ideas with the station, I've got so many fires to put out that it's not something that I can go in and demand and work with them to implement at this particular point in time.
Yeah, and I know they have all kinds of things that they have to solve, too, that are crises. So it's really, at this point, it's treading water. It's, you know, waiting for... things like a program council to be able to do some of the work when there's nobody else to do the work. It's not a good situation for the stuff to move forward as quickly as it should.
Well,
all I can say is that KPFK, our programming, anything that has to do with programming is just about keeping their programs and lobbying for their own political agenda. I've never seen anybody actually care about the station as a whole or do something that was useful to the station. Now, that's just my opinion. But,